A few weeks ago, or a couple months ago, rather, I was coming back from New Hampshire, and we were doing a camping trip with a few people from Glad Tidings Church, and it was probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Lori and I stopped in Lincoln to get a cup of coffee. And we stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, and we're driving through the drive-thru, and we get up there to pay, and the guy at the teller says, "You don't owe anything." It's kind of unusual. And so I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well," and he looked a little frustrated for some reason. He said, "Well, the guy before you paid for you." And I said, "Why?" To which he kind of had a slight eye roll. And he said, "Well, it's been happening all day." He said, "Some guy this morning," and I think he was frustrated because it meant he had to look at the machine a couple of times. He had to tell me it was just delaying him, but he said, "Some guy this morning paid for someone's coffee and it hasn't stopped. It's been going on for about 6 hours." And so what Lori and I did, we were like, score, yes, we took our coffee. No, that's not what we did. What did we do? We did what everyone else is doing, right? We were like, "That's awesome. That's so cool. We'll pay for the guy behind us." And I really scored because I only had one coffee and I had three. But it's amazing what simple acts of kindness and compassion do, right? Simple acts of kindness, simple acts of compassion. I don't know if the person who started was a Christian. I suspect they were. But in the end, that one person's move that cost them double because the first person that did it paid for their own and then had to pay for the people behind them. So it cost them extra, but had this domino effect throughout the entire day in a Dunkin' Donuts right next to the mountains that frustrated the little Dunkin' Donut guy. So Lori and I drove back and we're like, "You know what? We should do this." So the next day I went to Hanover and I got a cup of coffee and I couldn't wait to do it. I was looking in the back, who am I paying for? And I got to the window and I was like, "Hey, I want to pay for the person behind me." And lady's like, "Okay, cool, that's fine." And so she did that, and then I didn't want to look, I just want to drive and get out of there. And Lori went and did the same thing in Boston, and our hope was that, man, it would be cool just to start this up wherever we go. Kindness and compassion and love, unfortunately, seems becoming more of a thing of the past, isn't it? We were just in a dry cleaning office yesterday, dropping off some dry cleaning at the store, and this lady walked in behind us, and Michael, you know, is super friendly, and Michael turned around and said, "Hey, good morning, how are you?" Of course, she had this look of shock, a little overwhelmed, and then she responded very warmly and said, "You know, people aren't like that anymore. People aren't kind, they aren't loving, and it's easy in an environment like this that we live in to kind of feel like this darkness kind of creeping in around us, isn't it? I mean, you guys know the rules. If you write on the T, you bring a book. I don't care if you can't read, you bring a book. You make no eye contact, you don't smile, you put your headphones in. And if you ever see someone on the T doing this, you think they're not from around here and they're weird, right? You guys, these are the unwritten rules to writing the T that we all know, all right? Why? It's dangerous, we feel like. And so in this world around us, things are getting kind of darker, and it's sad, but it's true. The world is changing. It's not what it was 5 years ago. It's not what it was 10 years ago. People are less friendly. They're less loving. They're less helpful. They're less giving. And a lot of times we'll walk past people in need, sometimes because we're just too busy. Too busy, we don't have time to help, and sometimes it's because we're just too busy to notice that they need help. And so as a result, the world is dark. The interesting thing about darkness is that it takes darkness to reveal light, doesn't it? If you want to see the stars, you don't go to a bright city. In fact, if you're in a bright city and you look to see the stars, you can't see them. If you want to see the stars, you want to go out where there is no light. And you look up, and when you look up, you see the brightness of the stars. And that's what some people love about being in the mountains or the ocean or the islands or whatever it may be. They go, man, I can see the stars. We moved to Rockland. And they forget, Michael walked outside. He's like, oh, look, there's stars. He noticed them because it wasn't as light around us, and the stars stood out. So the interesting thing about darkness is it has a way of revealing the light. You can see a full moon during the day. And we know that moons don't produce light. It reflects the light from the sun. But you can see the moon, but there's nothing like a full moon when it's dark outside. And the light that's reflected off the moon can brighten up an entire area. I want to challenge you and say, as the world gets darker, it gives us a greater opportunity to shine more. Instead of complaining about the darkness, we recognize that, no, there's opportunity for our lights to shine. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world. You, each one of us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. A lot of interesting things in this passage that a lot of times we don't even think about. Jesus is saying to you, you are all flashlights. It's not bright enough for you, Heather. There you go. That's what Heather closed her eyes. You're all flashlights. How many of you have ever bought a flashlight? There's like three. Okay, more of you. All right, good. And can I ask you, I love asking dumb questions. Why did you buy a flashlight? Because you were living in the light area? Because why? You needed it to go into the darkness, right? That's why you bought a flashlight. How many of you use flashlights during the day? I'm glad to see no hands rise. Okay, I'm sorry, Maddie. Maddie Rose's hand. Most of us, if we're normal, don't use flashlights during the day. We need darkness. Christine Gain tells a story about her daughter, and she went to Walmart, she found a flashlight, and she turned it on. She's like, this is awesome. I've got to go find darkness to shine it in. You know what's interesting about darkness is we don't like darkness. I can't tell you how many adults in this church are terrified of going to the basement. It's true. In 90 years of this church's existence, we have never lost anyone in the basement. No one's died. Everyone who went down to the basement has successfully made it back out. But that doesn't matter. There's something about the darkness and we don't want to go to the basement. It's true. Look, I find it true in me. I come down going, oh, man, it's dark down here. We don't like the darkness, but the darkness gives us an opportunity to shine. The problem about it is this. We don't like darkness because in darkness, you can't see things. In darkness, guess what? You can't see color. You can't see definition. You can't see brightness. There's a reason why they say so many people are depressed who live in Alaska, because it's dark half the time. When the light is on, you can see the vibrant colors. You can see definition. Things become clear. And so people tend to stay away from the darkness. And as Christians, we're not called to do that. We're called to step into the darkness, not condone the darkness, but step into the darkness and bring light into the darkness that people can find joy and peace. There's something about vibrant colors that we like. There's a reason why we like fall in New England. We don't think of fall as a time where all the leaves die and fall off the trees. No, when we think of fall, we think of the bright colors and the changing. And fall can bring joy because all of the colors, because light exposes that. In the darkness, you don't see the colors. We need to understand that in the darkness, people are living without hope. They're living without joy. It's the same kind of atmosphere in their souls that we feel like if everything was just black and white. Flashlights are bought for the sole purpose of using them in the darkness. And Jesus says this, you are flashlights. The reason that you are still here is to shine in the darkness, not to shine in the light. What produces darkness? You know, it's interesting that you can go to a store and you can buy this and it produces light. But I don't have something similar to this that produces darkness. I don't have something that I can go and turn on, and in a room full of light, I can turn on and throw darkness on a wall. When you go into a room and you flip the switch, you turn the light on. You don't turn the darkness off. What is darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. So if we understand what Jesus is saying, he's saying, hey, listen, you live in a place where there's absence of light, but within that area, you are the light. And that one single light in a house can bring light to everyone in that house. Here's the most powerful thing about light, is it grabs your attention. There's a reason why we dim the lights during worship back then. We throw bright light up here. It's not because we like the spotlight. It's got nothing to do with that. But because it provides focus. We know that when you're sitting here and the light's bright on and you're sitting there worshiping and little Johnny's picking his nose, you're distracted and you can't enter in because you're distracted by what's going on next to you. And we realize that when you dim the lights back here, little things are like that don't stand out to you. And when we throw bright light up here, your eyes naturally focus on what? The light. It provides focus. That's why they do this. This is why they do it in concerts. This is why they do it with preachers and speakers. They know that your eyes will be drawn, and when your eyes are drawn, you pay more attention. This is God's design, guys. And so he says, listen, you are the light in the world, and in all this dark area, just a simple little light, no matter how small it is. If we turn all the lights off and lit one candle in here, all of you would be looking at that candle because there's nothing else to look at. And so some of you might go, man, I don't know if I'm Christian enough. I don't know if I've been this long. I don't have a whole lot to offer. Just offer what you have. Even the smallest light will draw attention in darkness. And he says, you are that light. The reason why it's dark is because there's not enough light. And so we carry that responsibility into our families where there's darkness. You are the light that's going to change that because Christ shines through you. Into our dark neighborhoods, who's going to change that? You are. And the onus God puts on you. And into our workplaces, who changes that? You do. Not because of your own strength, but because of what God does through you. We talked about this for the last 4 or 5 weeks about being transformed by the power of the Spirit, and that flesh produces flesh and spirit produces spirit. But when spirit comes into flesh, something changes. And the fruit of that is that you are no longer the way you were. Automatically, when that happens, it means you don't do things like you used to do. The light comes on. No matter how small it is, and in a dark area, people go, what's going on there? He says, you're the light. The city on the hill. No one lights a light in a room and covers it. And so what is light? What produces light? If we're the light, what produces light? Well, natural sources of light include the sun and stars. Where the source of energy is nuclear energy. To put it in its simplest definition, energy produces light. Energy. Think about it. Energy produces light. What do you call your electric bill? Your power bill. What do we say? Who do we say comes into us when we accept Christ? Power. Power from the Holy Spirit. And so when the power of the Holy Spirit enters into us, the energy of the Holy Spirit enters into us, energy produces light. So what is energy? If energy produces light, what is energy? I know this is going to keep going. But energy, in its simplest definition, energy is the ability of a system to perform work. Isn't that interesting? Energy is the ability of a system to perform work. What is energy? It's movement. It's movement. And to say a Christian, that means that in order for a Christian to produce light, it requires work, requires movement. To say you're a Christian producing light and yet you're doing nothing is to contradict the whole system, not that we talk, but that God designed. Understand, he designed this. When he talked about light, he knew more about what he was talking about than we understood. He said, listen, in order to create light, there has to be work and there has to be movement. And that movement is energy. And the byproduct of that energy moving is power, and it creates light. When you think about it, if you light a fire and you're going to use two sticks, you don't put the sticks together and go, light. No. And I can't do this, but I've watched enough Survivor shows to understand that you get blisters on your hands. You're either doing this with that stick or you're doing it and you're creating enough movement and energy and work to create heat. And the byproduct of that heat is that energy kind of, it produces a flame and the flame brings light. Isn't it interesting what God is saying? Grab this. And we go back to what he just said. He said, listen, you are the light of the world. You are the power. You are the energy. You are the work. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. He says, listen, when this energy, this movement and this work powered by the Holy Spirit does what it's supposed to do, you will be light in a dark world. He says, and that light gives light to everyone in the house, not just the one doing the work. It means you have the power to transform the environment in your own home. You have the power to transform the environment in your neighborhood. You have the power to transform the environment in your workplaces. If you will work empowered by the Spirit and His energy and produce light. But we go, no, I don't like darkness. I'm going to just hide over here. Well, I'm going to hang out with all the other flashlights here where we don't have to shine because somebody else is doing it and it's light and it's bright. That's not what God says. And Jesus says this in the same way, all right? Let your light shine before others that they may see your, what? Good works. Man, Jesus knows what he's talking about. He understands that energy is work. So let your light shine that they may see what? Your good works. Not your sitting on the pew. Not you doing nothing. Not your spiritual speech. Not your ability to quote scripture. Not your ability to stand up in front of other Christians and talk to them. But no, your work, your compassion, your love, your heart. That they may see what you do because that's what validates and brings life to your words. It's not one or the other. It's both. And Jesus is saying to each one of you, you are the light, empowered by him. So how do we shine? We shine by the work that we do. No, we're not saved by works, but we are saved for works. If that wasn't the case, you'd get saved and God would just take you home. No, there's a reason why he left a whole bunch of flashlights in the darkness, and that's for them to be turned on. And being light to other people. We talked about freedom and empowerment, being set free from our sins for the last several weeks. And the whole reason for this is that God to set you free from the chains that you wrap around you, to send you out into darkness, to be purposeful about bringing light, not just to set you free. Praise God, you're set free. And that's great. You've got victory. But now what? There's more to it. Now let that light shine. Go and move and work. James chapter 2, verse 14, 18 through 18 says it clearly. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? He says, what good is it, I'm just going to paraphrase this, if someone claims to be light but has no work? Because work produces light. If someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This is scripture, guys. Let me just paraphrase this again. He says, if all you do is talk, If all you do is quote scripture, if all you do is preach, whatever it may be, and there's no action behind it, your faith is dead. What he's saying is, you can talk about light and it not be there. No amount of talking can create light. No amount of putting sticks together and going, there can be fire there, is going to actually make that fire happen. It's only by putting my hands to the plow or to the work and moving that it creates fire. And so he says, listen, it's dead. He says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. He says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Listen, you can have works and not have faith, and it's dead too. You can be busy running around. It doesn't mean it's light. You can be working your tail off. If you're not energized by who God is, it's not light. Our actions bring life to our words. Our actions empower our words. They validate our words. And this is why faith and deeds go hand in hand. Again, we're not saved by our works, but we are saved to do good works. It's Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. As our way of life. A way of life is who you are, how you operate. It's almost, oh, you're almost defined by it. It's made clear in Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. It says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Interesting what comes in verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. How did they know that? When you do these things, these works, it's then that your light will break forth like the dawn, like the sun rising in the morning. And then your healing will quickly appear. And then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Then you will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, and here it is again, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. And the Lord will guide you always. And he will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called repair of broken walls, restore of streets with dwellings. Isn't it amazing that plants can't grow without the sun? They can't grow without light. And if God said this whole thing up, if God set the sun and the seasons and man, it says the heavens and earth declare his glory. And we can look at the seasons, we can look at how he built things and operate to understand how he's working in our own lives. We won't grow and the things won't grow around us unless there's light. And Jesus says, listen, man, you are the light. Not because of who you are internally, but because you have turned and he has occupied you, and out of you, because you were different, light comes forth and it brings light to everyone in the home. And people will begin to grow because of who you are in Christ as they see the light shining forth through you. Why do we do Christmas boxes? Why is this important? Why do we, every year we get together and we pack these boxes? Is it because we need to send a kid a colorful box? Here's the thing. we do these things? Why do we dig a well in Kenya? Why are we putting up walls in Haiti and helping fund an orphanage and being down there building relationships? Why are we doing all these things around the world? Is it to make us feel good? If you're doing it to feel good, you're missing it, because it's not that at all. What it is this: we recognize darkness. And we recognize what work does. And what happened was somebody said, man, there are people and there are kids who are dark, and their worlds are dark for whatever reasons, different circumstances around it lead to the darkness, and they're hurt and they're broken. And how can we get to them to bring light? How can we get to them to bring the message of Christ? And so in their thinking, they said, you know what? It's amazing what compassion does. It's amazing what buying someone a cup of coffee in Dunkin' Donuts does. It's amazing that one act like that can change everyone's actions for 6 hours and counting. I don't know how long it went on for. And so they said, you know what? Let's do something. Let's find out what their need is, and let's meet some of their need. Now, is it true that some of these toys will break? Absolutely. Is it true that, is this going to be their life-changing box that meets every physical need? No. But what happens is a kid who's in a dark place sees a colorful box like this. And even the box will bring him joy or her joy because it's colorful. And they open it up and they'll look at it for the first time. And half the stuff they may not even use, they may not even know what it's for, but they'll see the colors. And they'll see the different things in here. And they'll see flip-flops. And they'll see toothbrushes and hair things and socks and pencils. And all of a sudden, they'll go, man, this is awesome. And you know what they do when they get this? Eventually, they go, why did someone give this to me? Why did I deserve this? I want it, but I don't know why. Funny how their question from a shoebox is my question at Dunkin' Donuts. Why would you buy me a cup of coffee? But Samaritan's Purse is clever because they know the real reason they're given this box. It's multiple reasons. And the minute that kid says why, the walls come down. When someone says why, you can tell them anything. Kid says why, and they said, look. And their response is, let me tell you about a gift I received that I didn't deserve. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Because I can look at my life and go, why would you die for me, Christ? Who am I that you should die for me? And when that kid asks why, they begin to share about Jesus Christ. And guess what? Their works have paved the way for their talk. And the two go together. And together like that, that work and that energy produce what? A shining light. A box by itself doesn't do that. And talk by itself doesn't do it. But when the two go together, that's when you have light. And that's what Jesus is saying. You are the light, but your light is not laziness. It requires work. It requires being intentional. It's the same thing with the well. And so this is why we do this. We're empowering. We may not carry the gospel message with us unless we're physically carrying the box, but we're empowering people to carry that message when we give them the box. The well, yes, we want to bring water. Is water a worthy enough cause? Absolutely, but it's more than water for us. We want to answer the question, why? Because that's what leads to life and light. It's the same thing in Haiti. And so why do we do these things? This is why. The challenge goes beyond this because many of us are comfortable doing this right here. And we can do it here. We can send boxes off to Haiti. We can pack boxes. We can send them wherever we want to send them. But God's challenging you to something more. What he's challenging you to is to figure out what your shoebox is in your family. Someone put a lot of thought in how to present the gospel, and they came up with a shoebox. What God is challenging you and I to do is put the same kind of thought into our families, the same kind of thought into our neighborhoods, the same kind of thought into our workplaces. What's the shoebox for your workplace? What's the shoebox, guys, for your school, for your classmates? What's going to happen? What is it going to take to get them to go, why did you do that? Because the minute they ask the question why, God's given you an opportunity. The reason why there's darkness is because there's not enough light. Darkness is the absence of light. Guys, the onus is on us. Because he says, you are the light. And when you step into a place, light comes with you. Don't hide your light. He says, don't hide your works. Don't stand in the corner. But be the light. And it does cost you. Like I said, Dunkin' Donuts. That first act, when we did it, I paid for mine. And I committed to pay for whoever was behind me. They could have ordered for a whole office. I didn't know. Thank God it didn't. It was just one coffee. But they could have. This is what God's challenging you guys to do. Will you stand to your feet as we close? This is what God's challenging you to do. Is to create the shoebox, if you will. The shoebox for your family. To create the shoebox for your neighborhood. The shoebox for your workplaces. And it's not as hard as you think. It's just not as hard as you think. Here's how this works down. When people are being mean, be nice. When people are being mean, be nice. When people are being hateful, be loving. When people have short tempers, show self-control. Doesn't this sound like the fruit of the Spirit? Isn't that weird? How does that happen? Isn't it amazing how God has this all figured out? We're so slow. And he says, listen, it's not that complicated. And you know what it's going to cost you? Because you don't want to be nice when someone's being mean. And you don't want to be loving when someone's being hateful. When someone's running you down, how are you going to respond? When someone's gossiping about you, how are you going to respond? What's your shoebox? Here's what I know. God's given you one. Will you use it? If you would ask God, say, God, help me figure out what my shoebox is. Simply put this. It's just, help me to figure out what's going to generate the question, why? Why did you do that? It may not happen right away, but here's what I know. It's one simple thing, no matter how small. Like I said earlier, in a dark room like this, I can light one match, and everyone's eyes in this room would be on it. You do that once, people notice and go, huh, it's weird. You do it twice, they go, that's really weird. If I read scripture right, it said, let it be a way of life. It becomes a way of life. Then people go, I got to ask you. I've seen this, I've seen this, I've seen this. It makes no sense to me. And when that happens, pray for the courage to walk through those doors and tell them, let me tell you about an undeserved gift I got that changed my life. And who am I? The gospel's simple, guys. It's simple. And watch what God can do with that. And here's the thing. There's 300 of us. If you just say, listen, I commit to do this for one person. In 1 year, 3 becomes 600. I'm not even talking about him coming to this church. I just mean like kingdom-wise. 3 becomes 6. 6 becomes 12. 12 becomes 24. Why is the world dark when we're here? He says, you're the light. You're the answer. I've empowered you. But it's work. It's faith. It's trust. My favorite lines was of a little small village, and I said this not too long ago, in the South Pacific, where these cannibals said this missionary came in, and he died there after spending 30 years. And they said, when he came, there was no light. When he left, There was no darkness. And let that be said of you in your family. When he came, there was no light, but when he left, there was no darkness. Let that be said of me in my neighborhood. Man, when they moved in, it was dark, but when they moved out, it was light. Let it be said of us in our workplaces. Man, when they came, it was dark, it was miserable, but when they came, something came with them. When they left, everything changed. Scripture says it. One light will bring light to everyone in that room, and you can do it. He's empowered you. You are the light. And here's the thing. They're hungry for it. Even the people in the teal looking down, they're hungry. The people walking in the store, someone just says hi, and they go, it doesn't happen anymore. But we can't be afraid of the dark. We've got to penetrate the darkness. And when you go there and he is with you, guess what? It's not dark anymore. Amen? Well, Jesus, we come before you. Thank you for a love that we didn't deserve, a grace that we didn't deserve. Thank you, God, that you let each of us that question, why? Why would you die for me? What is it that I've done that could possibly deserve your love and your grace and your mercy? All I've given you is junk and sin and dirt, and all you've given me is love and freedom and grace and forgiveness. God, you turn our lives around. You empowered us, God, to stand against the flesh and to walk against the current of this world. And in doing so, let our light shine. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now, empower every person in this place, every teen in school. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would not conform to everyone around them, God, but they would take a stand for you, Lord God. When other people are hating and bullying, let them be kind and let them show love, Lord God. And God, start something in their lives for every adult in this place, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus for their families, for their neighborhoods, for their workplaces. God, for those who are struggling with how or what is their shoebox, if you will, Lord God. God, would you give them creative ideas? God, would you empower them, Lord God, just to be kind, just to show love, just to not respond like other people. And in doing so, Lord God, give them endurance to keep that going. That others may look at you and look to them and ask why. And God, at that moment, would you just rock their worlds and change everything like you changed ours, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that we can't save anyone, but that you can. All we have to do is point to you and what you've done in our own lives, Lord God. So God, would you be glorified in our lives as we work hard, as we become more intentional to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You have the ability to change the world. Go and shine in the darkness. Amen. Amen. Amen.